Welcome to the Outsource Accelerator podcast. This is a short format podcast where we explore business and outsourcing mastery. My name is Derek Gallimore, and I am really excited to bring you the leading podcast in outsourcing. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and this is episode 230. So today I am being interviewed, the tables are being turned, and Sylvia Christman of the DNX podcast is interviewing me, and I obviously get to speak my mind on outsourcing and its applications. Sylvia is a influencer within the digital nomad and online business space. She is a digital nomad herself, has been for considerable years, and is also based in New York, in Manhattan. So a great person to know, and I really enjoyed my conversation with her. If you want any of the show notes, then go to outsourceaccelerator.com/230. Enjoy.
Welcome to the DNX podcast, the number one resource for entrepreneurs, nomads, and impact-driven souls. And I am your coach, Sylvia Christman.
Hello and welcome back. I'm here today with my friend Derek, and he is in Manila, Philippines. And we just chatted recently about what it takes to actually build a company and what you have to do to outsource successfully and why it's so important. So hi, Derek, how are you?
Hi, Sylvia, how are you? Thank you for having me.
Of course. We're really excited to have you on here. So tell me a little bit more about what got you actually started in, you know, really investing in a outsourced accelerator. Not only that, but really positioning yourself in the Philippines, which I believe is a really, really cool place. And anybody listening that hasn't been to the Philippines, you should definitely visit. The people are extraordinary and really, really kind.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And I'm really excited to hear that you have already visited the Philippines. So
yes.
I think more and more people should come and take a look at this place. It's really got a lot going for it. I started my outsourcing journey in about 2011. By then, I had a startup in London, which was in the service department sector. I started this company in 2009 and then quickly realized that I needed 24-hour customer service because I was dealing with 24-hour clients and bookings from across the world, across different time zones. And a business friend of mine recommended that I try outsourcing and try the Philippines. So that was back in 2011. At the time, I was basically living in Sydney, or mainly based in Sydney, and commuting over to London to run my company. So I was already used to remote working. And then I hired my first outsourced remote staff here in the Philippines. And within about 4 years, we had grown that to about kind of 70 staff in the Philippines and about 30 staff in London, and grew that company up until about 2016, where we had about 250 apartments in London, and a team of about 80, 90 people.
I love that. What do you love the most about the Philippines?
It's an incredible country. It's had a lot of hard times, but one of the most fantastic things is it's got 7,100 islands, and generally the weather is pretty fantastic. So you can always get away at any time and find a secluded or completely private or barren beach to just hang out on.
Yeah, that was my impression of the Philippines as well. I fell in love with it when I went to visit it. It's just, it's still very, and a lot of places are still very untouched, but the kindness of the people and the absolute beauty of the landscape was very memorable to me.
Yeah, they're super, super friendly people. And I imagine that you were maybe realized or quite surprised by that they're super kind of westernized. Mm-hmm. They kind of grow up on a diet of YouTube and NBA basketball and pizza. So really, English is great here, and super, super friendly people.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, I have a team in the Philippines as well, and I'm just always, I just love their ability to translate between the lines. And I've even given them something in English. I've given them something in German that they seamlessly translated into worksheets and different projects without even knowing what it says. And that takes some serious skills. Forget that they speak English really well. I was very impressed how they created so much magic in another language that they didn't even speak. That was really great.
Yeah, it's amazing. They really are an incredible resource. And I think every business owner should really have some of their staffing over here in the Philippines.
Mm. Yeah, so talk to me a little bit more about why will it transform your business when you actually start to outsource and, of course, outsource effectively? I think all of us who run a business or who are an entrepreneur have learned their lessons in hiring the wrong person or the wrong team to outsource, painfully learning that outsourcing alone isn't going to solve the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely no magic bullet. And, you know, as we all know, everyone in business is tough. And, you know, just things like, do you delegate? Do you do it yourself? Do you expand now? Do you stay the same, but, you know, consolidate and ensure you have good profits? Like, all these are really, really difficult questions and problems in business. And, you know, outsourcing doesn't necessarily solve that. But what outsourcing lets you do, it gives you access to cheaper resources. You can save kind of 80% on the face value of salaries, which is just absolutely incredible. But it's not really about the saving. It's actually because, you know, it enables you to basically drive innovation and growth in your company. So, because of those reasons, I really recommend that every business starts the outsourcing journey.
Mm. So what do you think, we live in a globalized economy, right, where we're able to work remote, where we're able to outsource various different areas across the globe. What do you think it does to the global economy?
Well, yeah, we actually do get a little bit of kickback. It is an emotive subject. We have actually written a white paper on this, dealing with the sort of the emotive issues of outsourcing, and we demonstrate that outsourcing is a win-win overall. There is most definitely, as we sort of plow into the future, and there's huge change to employment, but basically, outsourcing is a good opportunity for everyone, and it doesn't take jobs necessarily from any one country, but it actually enables businesses to be more successful, which allows them to hire more people and increase growth. So we actually see a lot of situations where companies, they start to outsource, and it's like getting a shot of adrenaline. They can then grow more, they're more profitable, which is without doubt a benefit for, you know, everyone, whether that's in the home country, whether that's in the US or in the outsourced nation.
Mm. Yeah. What I find interesting is that it's you really have to learn how to run a decentralized team, we're a remote team. And if I look at my own organization today, I think every time there's a team call, we have people on 7 different continents, all at the same time. But we have learned how to pull things together through processes, systems and processes, where everybody has their own sense of freedom and ability to contribute to the company and its goals as a whole. While also for us, of course, running it cost effectively in various different set facets. So, while we're in the millennials like being digital nomads and they like to create their own flexible hours. And, when you work with teams that are stretched across the globe and work across different hours, it's a different skill set to manage a team remotely, isn't it?
Yeah, huge, huge. And, Marissa Mayer of Yahoo, she famously recalled everyone back into the office, and she said, you know, there's no more remote working and no one working from home. Because, you know, there's definitely pros and cons to it, yeah. People like their freedom now, but also I think there's also upsides to getting everyone around one table in one room and trying to agree on things. So, it's an interesting situation that is developing as technology is enabling this whole remote thing.
Yeah. Well, I think it can depend. I can see that people on my team are very comfortable with it. Also, I found that a lot of people are simultaneously in the same room and in co-working spaces. So my team in the Philippines typically sits in the same room, right, when they're talking about it to us while we sit in the same room here on our end too. So that makes it easier because there is human contact and video footage really allows you to keep that connection alive. But there's also an attitude towards it. You know, I find I have found, and you can challenge me on that if you like, that women are better at remote work because it feeds more into their lifestyle and other responsibilities, while it can feel very alienating to men.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I agree with that. Like, I could probably extend that and say, you know, ladies are slightly more kind of disciplined and maybe a little bit more responsible in terms of their time and their processes. So, absolutely. I would suggest that kind of ladies might react well to the remote kind of lifestyle. Mm-hmm. But I do definitely think that this is happening more and more. And you know, ultimately the remote options have been brought around by technology, and that is improving by the day. And you know, inevitably, I think within 20 or 30 years, there will be no difference between remote working or outsourcing or employment generally, because it's all just going to be called employment. You know, you're really just going to select your teams, your departments, your staff based on a meritocracy and what they're able to do, as opposed to where they're sitting or where they were necessarily born or educated geographically.
Yeah, I agree. If somebody's listening and they're like, okay, it's time for me to outsource, right? Like, it's too much going on here. Where do they start? What do you recommend?
Yeah, look, I think outsourcing to a lot of people is still a little bit big and scary. I try and suggest, well, try and tell people that the big businesses, the big corporates have been doing this for 25 years now, for as long as technology has enabled them. And they, you know, really have kept this as the best kept secret in business. For the last 10, maybe 5 years, it's been available now to SMEs. So I really recommend that people just get started. They should try outsourcing. Just find a little bit of information about outsourcing and, you know, give it a go, because it is a journey, as you say, to learn how to deal with remote teams, to learn how to deal with people of different cultures. There are different skill sets that you need. So it can be a little bit daunting, but I just generally suggest to give it a go.
Yeah. So you actually said something really important. It's not only that you have to go from managing a team that's in person to managing a team that's remote, but also to managing a team that quite possibly will have to bridge three different cultural contexts. And that's a whole other skill set. So it's almost, yeah. Right? So you have to understand how they communicate, how they see, and how would they interpret what I say based on their cultural context.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a new skill set. I mean, we deal with very experienced and successful entrepreneurs and business people, and they come over to the Philippines and think they're absolutely going to nail it. But then they realize that actually even they have to go through a learning process, a process of growth, because it is a sort of new set of skill sets. And for example, you learn that, you know, as you were saying with the crossing of cultures, you know, if you're going to start an outsourcing team, if you are selling lawnmowers in Arkansas, then it's probably not the best idea to get them selling lawnmowers in Arkansas right off the bat, because they're not going to be so familiar with that. But you can easily get them to design your website, to do your accounting, you know, and even manage your sales or marketing strategy. But maybe just kind of pull back from the things that have a lot of cultural or geographical referencing.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I agree. But even when you, I mean, you know, I've seen that in managing the marketing content. Sometimes you just have very, I find them usually amusing, but interesting interpretation of cultural context, you know, and just really notice how things are just understood differently. To me, I find that really enriching, but to some people who are just getting started, that could be really bewildering. Do you think that there's a step-by-step process people can go through and that would allow them to ease into the ideas and concepts of outsourcing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I think one of the major keys is just being very explicit about what you want. And especially if you're not a, you know, seasoned employer or you haven't employed that many people before, you actually realize it is quite hard getting the idea out of your head into someone else's head without sort of loss of translation or loss of interpretation. And so outsourcing and remote work really is kind of the process of that. It's kind of identifying the processes and the roles, making those very clear so that a team can sort of follow them and replicate them as easy as possible. Yeah, these are all just kind of, you know, common skill sets to gain as you start the outsourcing journey.
Yeah. Excellent. So just out of curiosity, when you said to me earlier that you're always in search of a life less ordinary, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, I've always been, I've traveled a lot, you know, I think, and I've always been, I always enjoy the sort of unusual kind of lifestyles. I have worked across about 6 countries. I've traveled around 45 countries, and I'm just determined in my life not to really be the sort of family with 2.5 kids in a white picket fence in the suburbs of a city somewhere. I think there is so much more wealth and enjoyment in life, and really it's just about being proactive in chasing that, really, and not getting kind of stuck to, you know, a lot of the lifestyle habits that I think a lot of us fall into.
Agreed. I think including myself and probably most people listening, we really have an understanding or at least a desire to look at a life a little less ordinary, unconventional, and also different ways that we can, you know, live our lives and run our businesses, and how we can do this in a more interesting, cost-effective, and efficient way, obviously. So thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate you sharing your wisdom with me and, of course, our audiences. And we're going to post some links below. So if people are interested in finding out more and how they can get in touch with you and learn more about the Outsource Accelerator, they can just simply click on the links. Thank you.
That was Sylvia Crispin of the DNX podcast. I enjoyed my conversation with her. If you want any of the show notes, then go to outsourceaccelerator.com/230. And as always, if you want to email us, just send us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.